Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My message this morning is actually not from either of those readings. It's from Psalm 46. And you know Psalm 46. You're going to sing about Psalm 46. You're going to hear in the message today. The basis of a mighty fortress is our God is Psalm 46. We'll explain that here in just a moment. Dear friends, trapped, overwhelmed, isolated. Martin Luther knew what that was about at many times in his life. As I think about those words, trapped, isolated, overwhelmed, I specifically think of May 1521. That was the month in which Martin Luther went into hiding. He was placed into hiding by his friend, Friedrich the Wise. He was an elector for the Holy Roman Emperor. He had an important position. And his friend Friedrich sent Luther to the Wartburg Castle in Eisenach, Germany. Luther was cut off from the entire world. Keeping him hidden and isolated was very important. And so they actually asked him to take on a different name. His name was, does anyone know what his name was in the Wartburg? Ever heard this before? Junker George. In German, it meant Knight George. He even changed his name. He grew his beard out and he grew his hair out. He looked wild and crazy. Nothing like he ever had looked. Imagine me growing my hair out and long beard. How crazy that would look. This is what Martin Luther did in 1521. And he was in the Wartburg Castle for a year and a half, isolated, cut off from everyone. It was during that time that he also experienced great physical illness. He had major stomach issues. I'm not going to go into graphic detail about that. But those stomach issues would stay with him all the way to the end of his life. It was caused there in the Wartburg Castle. In addition to that, Luther thought that Satan was attacking him in this time, about a brief period, about a year. Luther was depressed and had many mood swings, and he felt that Satan had done this to him. And in a famous episode in the winter of 1521, when Luther was sleeping at night, he picked up the inkwell by the side of his bed and threw it at what he thought was Satan across his room, and the ink splattered on the wall. That ink stain was still on that wall about 100 years ago. You can no longer see it. It's gone now. It's proof and evidence of that great, frightful time Martin Luther had in the Wartburg Castle. Isolated, overwhelmed, trapped. What helped him get through that time? What helped Luther through many moments where he felt this in his life? Well, I'm going to go out on a limb this morning and say that it really boils down to three words that are based loosely. Actually, not loosely. They're three words that are right there in Psalm 46. Ever-present help. God is an ever-present help in trouble is what that psalm says. Let's think about that first word here for a moment. That first word is, can you read that? I don't do a good job coloring, but you can read that, right? Ever is what that says. Ever. Now, some translations say very, but I'm going to go with ever. Ever. What does that word mean? It doesn't mean occasional, and it doesn't mean sporadic. Ever means always. Always. This last week, I did not have an ever moment when I called our bank up to do a transaction on the phone. I called the bank up to make a transaction, and a prompt, an automated prompt came up. You know how this goes. Would you like this call to be in English or in Spanish? English. Then the prompt asked another question. Would you like a transaction or would you like to know your balance? There were a couple more options. I said, I want to do a transaction. Then three more prompts came up. No physical voice on the phone quite yet. And then finally the voice said, we will have to call you back next week on Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Has that ever happened to you? So I hung up the phone and I tried a different option the second time I called. I said English when the prompt came up, but then on the second question, I said, I just want to find out a balance. I hit that number. Three more questions came up, and the same voice came up and said, we will have to call you in person next Wednesday at 4 to 6 p.m. Has that ever happened to you? No. That's not ever. Ever means God is not on hold with a prior arrangement. Ever doesn't mean that God is busy and can't talk to us. Ever means God is constant. God is available. God is ready. No matter how small Martin Luther was, and no matter how big the world seemed and how the problems were going on, he held on to this world. Ever. God is ready and available. No matter how small you are, no matter how small you think your concern is, God's ever available, ready for you. But we got to go on to the next word because that's just as important. Ever for what? If God's ever, what's the next word? The next word is present. Ever present. Can you read that one? You know, a lot of religions don't really teach that God is present or their God is present. They actually teach that God is the God, their God is high above and would never be involved in human activities, or that God would never come down and be present with people with all their messes and all their challenges. Psalm 139 specifically says this. The psalmist says, where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I go to flee from your presence, O Lord? If I go up to the highest heavens, there you are. If I go down to the depths of Sheol and make my bed, there you are. God is present. He's there. In a rehab clinic, is God present? Yes or no? With people that have messy lives, God is present. In a jail cell, is God present? In your work, is God present? In this building or wherever you may go, is God present? God is present. There's nowhere that we can go where God isn't there. But is that good news that God is ever present? Well, if God is mean, that may not be good news, right? Adam and Eve, when they knew that God was ever present, when they knew God, they had messed up, they tried to hide in the garden away from God, but he was ever present. Jonah tried to run to Tarshish, thinking that he could run and escape from God. We too might think there's a place that we can go where God won't see us, but he's ever present. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And that's why we need our third word. God helps. God is an ever-present help. Can you read that word? Martin Luther didn't believe that early on in his life, actually. He was raised in a tough household. His father had really high expectations, Hans Luther, and was quite rigid and very controlling of the kids in a lot of ways, and wanted them to go a certain route in life. When Martin Luther decided that he would go to the monastery and become an Augustinian monk, Hans Luther told Martin, I don't ever want to talk to you again. Luther got a view of God early on that God was harsh and a punisher, maybe from his father, the picture that he had of his father. Luther viewed then in the monastery when he became a monk, he still had the view that God was a punisher, that God was going to harm him. And he tried to win God's favor by doing all sorts of things, by fasting, by praying seven times a day, by going to confession. If you read Luther, he made up juicy confessions that weren't even true just so he could say something at confession and get the forgiveness from the priest. He tried everything that he could to win God's favor by doing things. But then he understood that it wasn't that way. That it was different. When he read Romans chapter 1, verse 17, that says this, for the just will live by faith. How did that change him? Luther knew that God was a helper, that he wasn't someone to punish always, that he wasn't just someone to be harsh. God helped by giving faith, and he helps you by giving faith. He helps you by sending his son Jesus so that your sins are paid for. God isn't a punisher. And we don't have to live our life by trying to make our way before him to make things so that he's favorable to us. He's our helper. If you put those three words together, ever, present, help, in the context of Psalm 46, it says this: God is our ever-present help in trouble. Amazing things can happen. A person that's trapped, overwhelmed in a monastery can be a reformer for the church and the world. Someone in today's age, trapped and overwhelmed, holding on to these words, can live in freedom, even in these times, and live with confidence. God is our very help in trouble. Are you living with these three words as a guide for your life? Do you think about them? Are you overwhelmed? Are you trapped? Are you feeling isolated? Biddy Chambers did. You may not know who Biddy Chambers is, but I want to share with you who she is. Biddy Chambers had a lifelong purpose of partnering with her husband to teach about the Bible and God's Word. It's all she wanted to do in life. That's it. She met her husband in 1908, and then 2 years later, in 1910, she married the man of her dreams that she wanted to partner with and teach the Bible. It was a great partnership. Their dream was to start a Bible school on the eastern part of London. They bought a home in London. They invited missionaries over. They had students over. Biddy's husband lectured, and Biddy simply took notes. That's all she did. World War I broke out, and her husband had a desire to be a chaplain with the soldiers in Africa. Biddy, her 2.5-year-old daughter, and her husband left to work on the front lines in Africa, in Egypt, and that's when the setback happened. Biddy experienced a Wartburg moment, isolation, entrapment, overwhelming. Her husband had an appendicitis and died. Complications. She buried her husband, packed up her 2.5-year-old, and left to go back to England. Lost her dream. Her husband was only 43. Lost her purpose. Lost her support. A Wartburg moment. But I think Biddy did something interesting. In that moment, in her Wartburg moment, she held on to those three words. God is an ever-present help. And she did the little that she could. She took the few notes that she had from her husband's teaching. She made them into pamphlets, sent them to her relatives. Her relatives then compiled those, more and more of those pamphlets, into a book. And in 1927, all those writings were published. A book called, does anyone know? My Utmost for His Highest. Anyone read that devotion? That book influenced Billy Graham to become a preacher. That book was the setting for Alcoholics Anonymous across the world. That book influenced every president of the United States from 1950 to the year 2000. That book has been printed 13 million times. Oswald Chambers was the husband. He never knew that he would make such a difference in the world. But it was Biddy who held on to that teaching. God is an ever-present help, and I can do something simple. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling trapped? I think a lot of us feel those feelings. Maybe Biddy felt as her husband died in Africa. Well, here's the truth for us. This God that we're talking about, he is not overwhelmed. He can take it all. This God, he's not trapped. He's created a way out through his son's death, Jesus on the cross. Heaven has been opened up for you. This God is powerful, and he's on your side. Luther held on to those words, ever-present help, because later on in life, he'd also experience isolation and difficulty. In 1528, 1529, at the Diet of Speyer, another big event happened. All his works, all his life's purposes were deemed heretical. It was said that he shouldn't teach at all. And around that time, 1528, Martin Luther wrote the hymn we're going to listen to at the end of the service, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." The inspiration for that hymn? Psalm 46. God is an ever-present help. Although the world changes, in a week it'll change, in 2 weeks it'll change, in a year it'll change, the truth of Psalm 46 is still alive and always will be. God is our ever-present help. Amen.